praise. We give you glory today. Oh, thank you, Father God, for your grace and your mercy, for bringing us together again. Father God, we just offer up blessings and praise and honor. Let your name be glorified through your Son, Jesus. And let your glory reign throughout the earth. Father God, we just come before you today and we thank you for this time that we have to spend together in your word. In the name of your Son, Jesus, amen and amen. Well, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to the Balance Point Church. We're continuing our study through the book of Genesis, and we're actually continuing our study on the prelude to the flood of Noah. And this has actually gone longer than I totally anticipated that it would go. But I don't know about you, but the Lord has been blessing me as I've been studying through these few chapters here. This week, we're actually going to be taking a look at the Ark itself, the Ark of Noah, that massive structure that God instructed Noah to build. And we're going to see that there's some surprising things that if you aren't paying attention as you're studying, you might totally just like skip over, that are simply amazing. I mean, it's amazing to me that the care that God gave when he gave the instructions for building this boat. And it shows the care that the Father has for us as we walk through our lives. And so turn with me, if you will, to Genesis. I'm sorry, I'm losing my cursors here. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis. I believe we're in chapter 6. Chapter 6, and we're going to begin at verse 14. Oh, wow, that's interesting. Half of my notes have disappeared. Well, praise the Lord. May the Lord have something different in mind than what I had in my notes. Genesis chapter 6, beginning at verse 14. Lord speaking here to Noah. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood, and you shall make the ark with rooms and shall cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth 50 cubits, and the height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark and finish it to a cubit from the top, and set the door of the ark in the side of it. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. Behold, even I am bringing the flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh which has a breath of life in it. From under heaven, everything that is on the earth shall perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall enter the ark, you and your sons, and your wife and your sons' wives. And every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every kind into the ark to keep them alive, and you shall make, they shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, and of the animals after their kind, every creeping thing of the ground after its kind, two of every kind shall you take to keep them alive. As for you, take for yourself some of all the food which is edible, and gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and them. And Noah did according to all that God had commanded him, so he did. So this ark, the first thing that we want to notice about the ark is big. The ark is huge. Now, we don't measure things in cubits anymore. And a cubit is nominally 18 inches. What a cubit was the distance, get this in the camera, from the tip of the finger to the elbow. Nominally, for a normal person who isn't like, you know, 6 foot plus, that would be about 18 inches. So converting this, we find out that the arc is 300 cubits, about 450 feet long. Its width is 50 cubits. Okay, that's basically the width of a football field. And its height is 30 cubits, which is 45 feet tall. This thing is basically, imagine taking rail boxcars or a shipping container, because everybody's seen one of those buggers. And imagine stringing shipping containers end to end until you have 450-foot long shipping container. If you're dealing with 40-foot shipping containers, that is 10 of the standard 40-footers. And then another 5 feet. That's just the length. Now, a shipping container is 8 feet across. So going crosswise, you're talking 6 of those going across. So 6 times 40, you're already 240 shipping containers. And a shipping container is, if you're talking about one of the high cube ones, 9 feet tall. So you're talking 40 plus times 8 times 9. That's a lot of shipping containers. That's over 1,000 shipping containers worth of volume. That is actually enough space. That if you take this passage, and you're not trying to save every species, but you're trying to save every kind, so every cat. So you're saving a sample of the cat family, a sample of the dog family, a sample of the cow family, you know, a sample of the non-venomous snake family, a sample of the lizard family. If you're trying to save, you know, samples of the various kinds of bugs, you know, you're saving sample of the bat family, sample of the mouse family, sample of the rat family. The average size, when you average out all these animals, even if you were to take adult specimens of these animals, the average size only works out to be maybe the size of a sheep. Probably a little bit smaller than that when you actually average it out. So it'd be not a problem to take a sample of every kind of animal. And actually, when we read further down, even as far back as Noah, there was the idea of clean and unclean. So the 2x2 are the unclean animals. Of the clean animals, you were supposed to take them 7x7. So you take 14 of those. And then the food. Now, it turns out that this little boat trip is going to be not quite as bad as the boat trip for Gilligan's Island, where they stayed stuck on that island for 7 seasons. Sorry, that's a little bit of an American pop culture reference there. Gilligan's Island was a show from the 60s and 70s about a bunch of folks who get trapped on an island after what was supposed to be a 3-hour tour. Noah and his family and all these critters are going to be on this boat for a little bit over a year. And speaking of the boat, the pictures that you see on the children's books about Noah, about the ark, that thing wouldn't float in a bathtub. It would tip over. No, what God has told Noah to build is he's told Noah to build himself a barge. Okay? if you really want to think about it, imagine a low-slung container ship. That's pretty much what God told Noah to build. And by the time you loaded that sucker up, trust me, it was going to be stable. Notice that the thing is basically a box with a single door. And God told Noah to do something very unusual. God told Noah to cover it inside and out with pitch. Now, I am no boat builder. However, I've asked a couple of boat builders about this, especially a couple of folks who work on like historic restorations. And I asked them, when you're pitching a boat, where do you generally pitch it? Do you pitch it on both sides? And they're like, no, you don't have to pitch it on both sides because the pitch is simply a waterproofing. It's just to keep the water on the outside. So generally you only pitch on the inside and you caulk and chink the outside if you're building a wooden boat. And so the question came up, well, why would somebody pitch a boat both inside and out? And I discovered a couple of things. One, and we need to back up just a little bit where God says, make the ark out of gopher wood. First thing you need to know, nobody knows what gopher wood is. Modern translations sometimes say cypress wood or other kinds of woods. Nobody has a clue what gopher wood is, neither do I. Now, there is a method of boat building that is common in areas that do not have large trees where you could like build timber style boats like what you think of from the 1700s, 1800s. And in this method, they actually end up creating a laminate of wood. So you have a layer of wood, you have something to hold it together, a layer of wood, something to hold together, and you build up a laminate beam. And this is technology that was known 6,000 years ago. So it's possible that gopher wood is really some sort of a wood laminate. And if it is, then that kind of makes sense with this next statement that you're to cover it inside and out with pitch. Because you would need that pitch inside and out to hold the laminate together. I find it fascinating that God told Noah to build his boat out of something that's living and to hold it together with something that flows. Seems kind of like our lives here. We are living beings, but apart from the flow of the Holy Spirit, our lives would tend to fall apart. Apart from the flow of the love of God, we have nothing really to live for or look forward to. If you are a humanist and you believe that this is all that there is, and guess what? This is all that there is. It sucks to be you, to be real honest. I'm just going to be blunt because you know what? There's no purpose for you to be here. There's no reason for you. And if there's no reason for you, then you are no more than the dust that you're made from. Even forgetting whether the Bible is real, even forgetting whether sin is real. But what if we are held together by the love of God? What if as we are going through our lives before we get to know God, the Word says that the Holy Spirit is given and is with us in order to convict us of sin? In other words, the Holy Spirit surrounds us Why? Because the Holy Spirit desires to preserve us. And then when we built the ship of our lives upon the flow, based on the flow of the Holy Spirit, what happens? The Holy Spirit moves inside of us. There are three prepositions that describe God's Spirit in relationship to the human. Before we are in relationship with Him, His Spirit is with us. He surrounds us. He convicts us. Have you ever wondered why Bounds Point doesn't preach on sin directly? The reason why I don't do that is because, to be really honest, we all sin. We all know that we sin. We all know that we fall short of the glory of God. And to be really honest with you, talking about sin very, 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 very rarely brings anybody to God. Plus, the Holy Spirit's already doing that. If you've somehow wandered to the Balance Point channel on YouTube, if you've somehow wandered to our sanctuary and you're watching this on the replay, if you somehow wandered to our ministry center and you're listening to the audio and you don't already have a relationship with God, you don't need me to tell you you're a sinner. You already figured that one out. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. And so that's the relationship of the Holy Spirit before we're in relation with God. He's with us. He's surrounding us. He's whispering in our ears, telling us, turn this way, go that way. Why? Because He wants to preserve our lives until we can reach a point where we're ready to surrender to God. And then when we surrender to God, the Holy Spirit takes up residence within us. He pitches our insides with His presence. Why? Because now it's about preserving the relationship that we have with God. He takes these fragile beings called human, these lumps of animated mud on the way back to being dust, and He binds us up. You know, there's a mystery in the New Testament. The mystery of Christ in us and us in Christ. And I don't know about you, but you know, in my mind, I'm like, how does that work? What does that look like? How can an infinite God squish Himself into finite, dusty, crusty, rusty humans? And even more amazing, how does a limited human come to contain the infinite? And I think here in Genesis, we get a clue. We get a clue. If it's true that gopher wood was a laminate of some sort, well, when you make a laminate, and I've never done wood laminate, however, I have played with fiberglass. And so I'm familiar with the idea of having a matrix and then having a resin that soaks into the matrix. The fiberglass cloth by itself, you can move it around like this, and you know, it's no big deal. And of course, the resin is just a liquid that just pours and it just flows. I'm sorry, I'm not going to demonstrate pouring, because well, there's a keyboard here where that would not work so well. But something amazing happened. When you take that cloth and you drape it over a mold And then you pour the resin over that cloth and you smooth the resin down. You get all the air bubbles out. Eventually that resin hardens and that cloth and resin become one. Jesus himself prayed, and we find this prayer in the Gospel of John, where Jesus praying for his disciples says, Father, I pray that they may become one as you and I are one, and that they may become one with you. That's the mystery. That God would choose to pitch our lives inside and out with his presence. And that God would cause our lives to be, oh wow, yeah, I'm way off the ranch now. Verse 15, the size of the ark. That God would cause us to build lives. But not just build lives for ourselves, not just build lives for our own pleasure, for our own desires. But watch this, verse 15. The ark is huge. Our lives are to be huge. The ark is 450 feet by like 150 feet by 45 feet. That's a huge boat. And why was the boat so large? One, that boat was so large so that the animal life could be saved. Two, because it says you're going to take the animals with you. Two, the boat had to be large in order for Noah's family to be saved. Three, the boat had to be large so that food could be provided for all the animals and for Noah's family. And I believe that there's a fourth thing that's not stated here, but it's implied, because from our previous chapter, we found that God said, I'm giving you 150 years. That means that that 450 foot long boat was being built in Noah's front yard for 150 years. That boat was a testimony of the coming judgment that God was going to lay down on the earth. I want you to think about something. Imagine getting up and going to work, and you see Noah and his sons building a 450 foot long boat. Imagine coming home from work, Noah and his sons out there working on that 450 foot long boat. We're going to read later that Noah did not go out to gather the animals, but the animals came to Noah. So after a while, you're going to see them building this boat, but even stranger, at some point you're going to see a couple of zebras show up in Noah's front yard. A couple of horses. Couple of dogs, a few cats. Going to see a bunch of bats showing up and roosting in the trees in Noah's garden. Going to see birds showing up. Going to see bugs beginning to show up at Noah's house. Of course, when you got that many animals lying around, of course you're going to have a few bugs, but you're going to start seeing bugs showing up. You're going to start seeing lizards and snakes and turtles and tortoises, and these things are going to be like showing up. I mean, I'm not the most brilliant person on the planet, but I'm thinking that somewhere around year 100, even I would catch on to the idea that something was up. And honestly, eight people, true, there were a lot of animals, but eight people and the food, animals really didn't need that much space. Why build the boat so big? Because God was merciful. And God was working through his Holy Spirit to bring more than just eight. but only 8 decided to show up to the party. See, there was enough room on that boat to have a whole lot more than 8 folks. Even after a year, there was enough food on that boat, because believe me, you know, if you're talking a family of 8, and if you figure each person eats, you know, primarily it was a vegetarian diet at that point, but if you figure each person is eating, I don't know, somewhere around 8 pounds of vegetables, call it 10 pounds to make the math easy, that's 80 pounds of food a day. Times 300, you know, it was only a few, the food itself was only maybe 2 or 3 tons, and a boat that size could carry a lot more than that. Plus, if you figure they had a little bit of food extra to hold them over till they could start growing stuff. So why the big boat? For the same reason that Jesus said, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. Why? Because contained in that big boat, contained in the threat of judgment that that boat represented, was also the promise of life that that boat represented. See, your life and my life, when we become laminated, as it were, with God, becomes a place of refuge for those around us in the storms of this existence. We become arcs through which God can pull sinful man, sinful women, sinful children out of the flood of judgment. Our lives become a storehouse of food. That's why we teach the Bible verse by verse. Why? So you can become some sort of Bible scholar and be able to play Bible trivia? No. We teach this way so that we're well fed. We teach this way so that out of the overflow of your hearts, out of the overflow of what you've already taken in, you're able to pull out of those storerooms and to feed others. So you see, our lives are a place of preservation. Our lives are a place of refreshment. And so the ark becomes really an image of what the Christian life is to be. Interestingly enough, God doesn't tell Noah to store water on the boat. Water's not going to be an issue for the next year or so. But food. And you're thinking, well, but Dan, you talked about other humans, but why the animals? Because God gave us a responsibility to care for his world. Our lives as Christians should be lives of caring for the environment that's around. It doesn't mean that we raise the environment to a place of worship, but we are responsible. God holds us responsible for how we treat his creation. Last thing that we want to notice real quick in this section is the food. Verse 21. As for you, take for yourself some of all the food which is edible, and gather it to yourself. And it shall be food for you and for them, for you and, of course, the animals and his sons and their wives. Notice, Noah didn't have to go out planting. Noah just gathered. God provided. for their care. But just as God provided for their care, Noah had a place. Noah had a job to do. Noah had two jobs. Build a boat, gather the food. The animals, they were going to show up. And this is important. All too often we strive and we work and we plan and we scheme and we program. How are we going to bring that next unbeliever into the church? How are we going to reach out to that prodigal? How are we going to do this? And the reality is, it isn't how are we going to do, but what are we going to do that God has already told us to do? A little bragging on God with regards to balance point. You may not know this, you may not recognize this, because you're probably sitting in your own place, and it may be just you and your family listening to this, watching this video, listening to the audio. But from this little corner in a suburb of LA, not even a good suburb of LA, this ministry reaches out around the world. We're accessed from at least 20 countries every week. Most weeks, it's closer to 40 to 60 countries. Every week, we have well over 3,000-4,000 visits to the site. And of those visits, the majority of those visitors are return visitors. Probably somewhere around 1,500 a month of return visitors. I've been asked, how do you grow an internet ministry? I'm going to tell you right now, there's no plan. There's no program that I could come up with that would make that kind of growth, that kind of retention possible. No, how do you grow in it? You don't. God grows the ministry. So what did I do? I did just what God instructed Noah to do. I gathered up food. I gathered up the word. And out of the overflow that God gives me when I'm studying the word for myself, that's where these lessons come from. And because of that, God has use that to nourish hundreds of people each week. I'm not special. Balance Point's not special. To be really honest, nothing about what we do on the internet is special. All we're doing is gathering what God has prepared for us. You know, speaking of that, I just jumped ahead to the book of Exodus. And the Hebrews are out in the desert after the Passover, and they're saying, we're hungry, we want to go back to Egypt, go back to being slaves, because you just brought us out here to kill us. And Moses takes that to the Lord, and God says, look, I'm going to feed them. Here's the instructions you give to them. Each morning, I'm going to rain this stuff down out of heaven. And when it dries, it's going to look like a coriander seed. Your people are to gather it each day, day by day. And six days, you're to gather it. 5 days, you'll gather one amount. And on the sixth day, you'll gather twice as much because it ain't going to show up on the seventh. And so the first day that this happened, the people came to Moses and went, "What is it?" And Moses said, "That's what we're going to call it. We know it as the manna. Is God providing for over 2 million people? Did they have to work for it? No. Did they plant seeds to get it to grow? No. All they did was gathered it. If we're going to be proficient at being the arks that God has called us to be, if we're going to be proficient at being preserved inside and out by the Spirit of God, how do we do that? We simply gather the food that God's already prepared. How we do that? We get into His Word every day. We simply take advantage of the Spirit of God that He's given us. I challenge you. I'm putting out a challenge. Your daily prayer for the next week, daily prayer for the next week, should be, "Lord, make Your presence known to me. Make Your presence known to me. Show me how Your Spirit is weaving in and out of my life. Make me aware of what You're doing." And guess what will happen? You will start having divine appointments, and you will start recognizing things that are happening, things that are occurring around you that before you were like, "Wow, that's a weird coincidence." You'll start recognizing it as the hand of the Holy Spirit. And because you will be being led by the Holy Spirit, and because you will be filled to overflowing with the food of His Word and the water of His presence, you will notice that people will come to you, and you'll be able to feed them spiritually and emotionally. And like the psalmist says, "Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount out with wings of eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and they'll not grow faint." Because you'll be leaning on the Holy Spirit. The more that you give out, the more that you will have to give out. The more that you give away, the more you'll have. And then you and I too can be arks of the Lord, places of refuge in the storms of life. Father God, we thank You for this word. And we invite You to coat us inside and out with Your Holy Spirit. But Father God, more than just coating us with Your Holy Spirit, we ask that You would get between the fibers of our life and laminate us. We'll give You all the honor and all the glory and all the praise forever and ever. Amen and amen. Now let me tell you, today's message was really a message to God's people, but I know that there are few of you out there who don't know God, don't know the power of His presence, don't know just what a wonderful protector He is. And I would be remiss if I didn't offer you this opportunity to trust in Him. Now, originally my message was supposed to be the ark is a picture of Christ. And in a way, my message today was that picture of Christ. Because you see, for the Christian, Christ is in us and we are in Christ and we are His body. And the things that I said about our lives are equally true about the person of Jesus Christ. And God loved us so much that he sent Jesus. He sent Yeshua of Nazareth to live a perfect life and to die in our place. Because he doesn't want us to be drowned in the storms of life. He doesn't want us to be lost in the sea of eternity. But rather, he wants us to be safe. He wants us to be a part of his family. And all we have to do is trust. The word says, if you will believe in your heart, that's trust. I'm sorry, let me back up. The word says if you'll confess with your mouth. What's confession? Confession is to say the same thing as God said. What's God said about us? He says he loves us. He says we fall short. We sin. That's called sin. It says because of sin, we can't be with him, and there's no way to repay him. But he also says, I will pay the debt for you through my son Jesus. It says that it's a gift. So the word says if we will confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord. Lord of what? Lord of life. He said that I've come that you might have life and life abundant. He's the Lord of death. I've been given the keys to hell and the grave, says the Lord. You confess that Jesus is Lord. And you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Yes, Jesus died for you. Jesus died for me. But Jesus did something very special that no other person could do when they died. He got back up again. You shall be saved. You'll be placed in the ark of God's love. You'll be preserved through the storms of sin, through the storms of life. All you got to do is confess and believe. I'm going to pray a prayer of confession. And if you believe what you are praying, you shall be saved. So if you've never trusted Jesus to be your Savior, if you never believed that he died in your place. Or maybe at one point you did, but you've been living like hell. You trusted for heaven, but you've been living like hell. Then pray this prayer with me. Father God, thank you for loving me. I make mistakes and I blow it, I fall short, and I don't deserve to be with you. And there is nothing that I can do to make up for it. And so, Father God, today, I accept the gift. I believe that your son, Jesus, died in my place. And I believe that you raised him from the dead. And I declare today that Jesus is the Lord in my life. Father, send your Holy Spirit to guide me that I might live from this day forward to please you. In the name of your son, Jesus, amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer, we'd like for you to give us a contact. You can contact us by email at staff@bounce-point.org. You can leave us a message at our Facebook page. You can leave us a message at our YouTube page, Bounce Point Church, or you can even mail us at Bounce Point Church at 1998 East Ora Street. That's Willowbrook, California, 90222. Get in contact with us. Let us know that you have decided to make Jesus your Lord and your Savior. And we would like to hear from you because the word also says that where two or more agree about a thing on earth, it shall be established in heaven. And we would like to come into agreement with you about that. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now prepare to receive the blessing. May the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit permeate and cover your life and my life inside and out with the grace of their presence. May they strengthen us against the storms of life. And may they preserve us through all eternity. In the name of the Father, amen.